Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Pacella, co-founder and lead investigator for Orange County, New York Paranormal. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For those of you who've been with us since the beginning or have joined halfway through, thank you so much. More and more listeners every episode, really glad to see it. If you're new to the proceedings, thank you. Please like, subscribe, rate and review on a podcast platform if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, because there is a video version of this. Please make sure to like and subscribe there as well. If you're looking at YouTube, hit that bell on YouTube, because then you'll get notified of all of the videos we put up, because not only do we do the podcast, but of course we also publish the video recaps of our investigations. And take it from me, there are some really good ones coming up. And there's a lot coming up. So we're going to talk about today's topic, but then we're going to talk about what's going on now that we're getting closer and closer to October. If you can't sense it, it's definitely there. And it's not just because everything is pumpkin spice all of a sudden. You're starting to feel it in the air, especially here in the Northeast United States. But it's starting to feel like fall, and it's starting to feel like October. And when October comes along, the interest in the paranormal gets bigger and bigger, leading to some events that we'll be doing in the next over the next few weeks that we will talk about at the end. But the first thing we need to do today is I want to talk about today's topic. And today's topic, quite simply put, is by doing what we do in investigating the paranormal, are we disrespecting the very spirits we're trying to talk to? Now, we've been doing this for a while. Not as long as some people have, but we have been doing this for quite a long time, and we've done a lot of investigations in a lot of different kind of places. And a question that we get asked a lot by owners of haunted locations, and even people who've come to investigate with us, is do we feel that what we're doing is in any way disrespectful, not only just to the history of the place where we are, but the actual spirits that we're trying to talk to? And it's an interesting question, and it's been there since day one, and I've thought about it since day one. And what I've kind of settled into as an answer is, you're not, if you're doing it right. And what does that mean? Well, one of the things we always say around here is there's 10,000 groups doing it 10,000 ways. So who is to say what methodologies are respectful and what methodologies aren't? All I can speak to is what we as Orange County, New York Paranormal have found in our travels and what our opinions on these things are. And it just, at the end of the day, comes back to what I just said. If you are not investigating the paranormal a certain way, you are being disrespectful to the spirits, and it's very easy to do it, even if you don't mean to. If this is something that you maybe hadn't thought of before, you might ask yourself, or you might ask us, well, why in the world would anybody view what we do as disrespectful? And some of the angles we've heard is, you know, we're interrupting spirits, or we're bothering spirits, or we're not letting them rest in peace. I hear that one a lot. And, you know, we are in many cases asking the spirits questions about things they don't want to talk about. If they were in pain, if they were sick, maybe how they passed away. Things that, you know, we wouldn't want to talk about, so why would they? Of all of the ones that we have been asked about in terms of disrespecting spirits, the one that resonates the most with me is the concept of not letting someone rest in peace. And I've said it on the podcast before, this is one of the reasons why I don't like to investigate cemeteries, because I kind of feel that that's disrespectful. Because if they're in a cemetery and they're resting in peace, that's exactly what they're doing, resting in peace. There's a big difference between resting in peace in a cemetery and wandering the halls of somewhere you once called home. One implies much more resting in peace than the other, I think we can all agree. At the end of the day, the way I look at it is no spirit has ever talked to us against its will. But it can be disrespectful. And I want to talk about some of the ways advertent or inadvertent, that you can disrespect the spirits by simply doing some things that you may or may not be aware that you're doing or not doing when you investigate a haunted location. So we talked about how we can disrespect the spirits, but how can spirits be insulted? Might be something you're asking. The same exact way living people can be insulted. Dealing with the dead isn't that much different than dealing with the living. If something would insult you, it might likely insult a spirit as well. If you insult the lives or the passions of someone, living or dead, that's disrespectful. If you disparage their family, you disparage their friends, you disrespect their place in society, you don't show respect for who they are, and making fun of how they passed away. Believe it or not, I've seen videos on social medias where groups go in trying to do that. And frankly, wasting their time. These spirits, much like us, we don't like to have our times wasted by people coming in and having meaningless go-nowhere conversations. So these are just some of the ways that you can, you can insult a spirit by doing these things. The same things that would make you insulted if somebody actually did them. But we've narrowed it down really into three categories of the things that we have seen where people are disrespecting the spirits. And I will tell you, every investigator everywhere has done some version of one of these things at some point, inadvertently or advertently. For us, it's always been inadvertent. And again, I'm going to talk through the experience of our experience. I am not saying this is the right way or the wrong way to do it. It has been the right way for us to do it. It is what we have come to believe. But there's 10,000 paranormal groups out there, and everyone's going to tell you different. So this comes from our point of view. But I think once you hear it, you'll think to yourself, well, yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer. So let's dive into the first subheading of ways that spirits and ways that we can disrespect spirits. The first is not knowing who you're talking to. And this is a big one. This is about respect, but knowing who you're talking to in terms of not where you're standing now, but where their standing was then. And I can think of no greater example of this from our own investigations than the volunteer work that we've done and continue to do at Hyde Hall in Cooperstown, New York. Hyde Hall was the largest home in America pre-Civil War. The Clark family lived there for many, many generations, started building in 1817, and the last family member left the property in 1963. So you've got 150-ish years of this family. They were powerful. They were influential. George Clark, the first George Clark there, his lawyer was Alexander Hamilton. Like, that's how influential these folks were. So you have to go in and know who you're talking to in terms of the standing that these folks had in that society. People came up to their home to pay the rent on their land. I mean, these people were respected and they were treated with that kind of respect. So you can't just walk in. So you can't just walk into the Clark parlor room and start going, "Hey, buddy, anybody here?" No, you have to treat them in the manner that they were used to being treated when they were alive. And if you don't know who you're talking to, it just becomes a whole other investigation where you're just trying, and you're not going to get anywhere because they're not going to respond to being called. They don't even respond to being called George and Ann and Anna, and they're really only George, Anns, and Annas, it seems like, in that house. It's Mr. Clark, Mrs. Clark. When you're speaking directly to them, you have to refer to them that way because that's how they were referred to. They are insulted if you don't refer to them as Mr. and Mrs. Clark or Sir or Madam. And we have found that when we do that, when we address them in the way that they were accustomed to being addressed, the way they expected to be talked to, we got a lot more evidence. We got a lot more interaction. We got a lot more conversation. Why? Because we're speaking to them in the way that they would be talked to when they were alive. So respecting someone's standing in society, knowing who you're talking to, it's funny. You wouldn't think that calling a person whose name is George, George, is disrespectful. And most of the time it isn't. But if you know who the Clark family was, sir or madam, that's how they were talked to. Mr. and Mrs. Clark, that's how they were talked. And you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know you're insulting them. And they've never said through any evidence that it insults them, but we know when we get more activity and we know when we get less activity. We get more activity when we regard them in the way they expect to be regarded. And on the opposite end of that spectrum is a location that we were just in. Video is going to be coming out very soon. Watch for that one. It's one of my favorite investigations we've ever done. At the Finger Lakes Community Action building up in Lyons, New York. They have a tunnel there that the remaining part of the tunnel was part of the Underground Railroad. And if you don't know who you're talking to, none of us know what that experience was. That's not what I'm saying. But if you know or have some understanding of the courage and the journey that these folks were embarking upon and what they were hiding from and the emotions and the fear. If you just walk in there and you're just like, hey guys, what's up? it's not respecting their journey. It's not respecting it. You have to go in with some reverence. And it's sort of the two sides of the spectrum. If you have folks in the high society who expect to be treated a certain way, but you also have refugees fleeing from a dangerous situation that also deserve respect, that also aren't going to shout out EVPs because it was all about being quiet. It was all about not showing your hand or not showing that you were there. And it shows that if you just walk into a building and you investigate the same way every time, you don't know who you're talking to. And not knowing who you're talking to can very easily be seen as disrespectful. The second subcategory, if you will, of disrespect and how you can inadvertently or advertently disrespect a spirit is by not understanding who you're talking to. And that may sound similar to not knowing who you're talking to, but it is and isn't at the same time. By not understanding who you're talking to, it's not taking into account different things about the location or the people you're trying to talk to. Probably the best example of that would be people of different eras. Most of the time when you're investigating the paranormal, you are not investigating something or looking to talk to a spirit that has only been around for a little bit. I mean, it happens. But a lot of the time, and if you look at most of the investigations we've done in historical locations, we're trying to talk with people who are from the 18th and 19th centuries or the early 20th century, 100 years ago. And people of different eras don't quite always understand how we word things, or modern technology means nothing to them. And what is normal, what is a normal thing to say now could have been disrespectful in those days. And this is where I think most, all groups, including ourselves, inadvertently step in it once in a while, because I don't know what the vernacular of the 18th century was. I don't know that. I don't know what a word meant 150 years ago. We try. We try to make sure. But at the same time, you can't speak in 2023 language to someone from 1850 and expect them to have the same level of understanding of what it is you're saying or what you're trying to say. That's just not going to happen. English is English, but English has not been consistent. If we went back to Victorian England, we would not understand them and they would not understand us. It's the same language and the same words, but they meant different things and they were put in much different order. And let's face it, people used more syllables back then. It's not as easy as you think. So it is to be understood throughout history. So when we're speaking, when we're formulating sentences, when we're asking questions, we need to take into account the eras of the folks that we're talking to. And for a group like us that is what we call scientific, you know, we're all technology-based. We're not psychic mediums. Our only methods of communication are cameras and recorders. You think spirits know what these things are? You know, one of the things that I think you can do as an investigator to help yourself is explain that you have equipment. Explain that there are things around. It's part of every introduction I give, and I'll talk about that a little more about that preamble later. But we always say, hey, there are some things around the house that you may not recognize that are flashing some lights, but you can talk to these things. You can walk up to these things. You can interact with these things. I don't tell them exactly what they are. What if I say something is a 4K full spectrum GoPro camera? What does that mean to somebody born in 1878? It means nothing. But you try to at least say, hey, we came, we brought some stuff into your house that you haven't noticed, and this is what it's for, and this is what we're trying to do. And, you know, not understanding who you're talking with, not only can people from different eras who speak the same language not understand you, people who speak a different language might not understand you. Not all spirits speak English, because not all people speak English. In fact, most people don't speak English around the world. It's interesting that, you know, that you see this happening, and we get foreign languages all the time. And we have to take into account and understand who we're talking to. I go back to Hyde Hall again. In a lot of the volunteer work we've done at Hyde Hall, one of the things we learned is that the servants there would have mostly spoken French, not English. And thankfully, the staff members that we work with, they speak French. And when we started talking French to people and to spirits that in areas that they would have lived in, we started getting French back. And of all the paranormal investigations that have happened there, I don't think I've ever seen anything or heard anything where they spoke French in that house. We had someone with us who understood it, who did it, and we got amazing results because of it. So take that into account. Just because you're doing an investigation in upstate New York, for example, doesn't mean that who you're talking to spoke French. They could have spoken Spanish. They could have spoken French. They could have spoken a Native American language that is very hard today to decipher without having someone from a historian of that group of people or an actual member that retains the language. So I'm not saying we have to learn different languages. What I'm saying is if we understand that we may run into people who spoke a different language, it never hurts to have some questions prepared in that language. And in the age of Google, that's not hard to prepare, and it's not hard to do to get that. The information age allows us to have these things at our fingertips as long as we understand when and where we need them. The other part of understanding comes down to understanding in terms of how the people you're attempting to talk to met their end. There is evidence that not all spirits know they are actually dead. And the evidence tends to point to spirits who died in traumatic ways or very quickly. Soldiers, for example, are an area where this seems to be somewhat prominent. So if someone doesn't know they're dead, you can't talk to them in past tense because for all they know, in the whatever realm they're existing in, they're still very much alive. And just think about if somebody walked into your house and started talking to you in past tense. You'd be like, wait a minute, what do you mean? I'm still here. So I think it's an important thing to, in all investigations, to understand that the spirits you're trying to communicate with, they might not know they're gone. And what we have taken to doing, and I always recommend, because again, we've gotten good evidence from it, is using both tenses. And by doing that with both tenses and answering questions and asking questions in both present tense and past tense, you're just doubling your chances when speaking to spirits that are either still there, don't know they're dead, or I know some investigators who only speak in present tense, and I've tried that. It's really a tough thing to do, and I do catch myself doing a lot more past tense sometimes and having to remind myself, you know, that I'm closing the door potentially on talking to a spirit that doesn't know that it's passed away. And those ones are interesting because, man, you just wonder what their realm, what this room looks like to them. And I've asked more and more spirits about that. And one of these days I'll get an answer. But as you can see, eras and languages and understanding what a spirit might be, their reality might be. If you understand that, you have way less of a chance of getting the spirit to feel slighted, disrespected, and way more of a chance to actually have a conversation and learn more about the spirit you're trying to talk to. And the final subcategory, if you will, of disrespect and different ways that you can disrespect a spirit is the most egregious one, in my opinion. It's not caring who you're talking to. They exist. There are groups that don't care who they're talking to. They're there. They just want paranormal evidence. They want to be scratched. They want to be shoved. They want the experience they've seen in the movies. They want the experience they see on TV sometimes. And they don't actually care who they're talking to. And I'm saying, and by the way, this is the minority. The majority of what you see are, you know, most of the majority of paranormal, this is like the majority of everybody are good people in it for the right reasons. But you've seen it, and paranormal television doesn't do you any favors because it kind of glorifies and shows you that, you know, being a jerk and provoking and trying to get negative reactions will get you views and get you TV shows and get you hits. That's great, but for some people, they see what they do on television and just think that's how you do it. I think most investigators who watched the TV shows as kids like I did got into it and got into it for the right reasons and do it the right way. But there are people who do not care who they're talking to. They don't care when they're in a prison, who they're talking to prisoners. And that one blows me away, because why aren't you careful? You know, these folks who have passed away in a prison, they were not necessarily nice people when they were alive, and death probably hasn't changed them. And, you know, the spirits of prisons are very different, and you have to be different about that. And yes, I have taken a key and locked cells and unlocked cells to try illicit activity. That is a lot different than trying to provoke a spirit to attack me or to shiv me, which I have seen people try to do. You know, you have to understand, these are prisoners, man. They are not good people. And if you provoke them, you know, that's when paranormal investigation gets dangerous. When you don't care who you're talking to, and therefore you will care when they shove you somewhere. You know, sometimes you can do it inadvertently. Emily's incident where she was pushed down the stairs at the Berlin County Prison. We didn't purposely get the spirit angry with us. The spirit got tired of us being in a certain place, told us through the ovulus, and we just were too green to get the message. So, told us to leave. We didn't. So, gave us a shove. The one that irritates me the most, the one that makes me just angry, is when I see folks who are investigating locations that used to be mental health facilities, when they show disrespect to the folks who passed away there. In the past, there's actually been some of those establishments that were abandoned, and then they reopen them as like haunted attractions, and the people jump out acting like mental patients. That one, I can't stand that. That is, these are people who have real problems, real wiring issues, and it has altered their lives in a way that people like you and I, who, you know, quote unquote normal people, cannot even begin to fathom. And it's insulting. It's insulting. I'm angry about it alive. I can't imagine how, as a spirit of one of those folks, it would make me angry then. If you're in a mental hospital, former mental institution, and you don't care how you're talking to the spirits, I don't care to ever know you. And because it's that insulting to me, and it should be that insulting to everybody, you know. But also from an investigative standpoint, you're also going to find that, you know, because these folks were challenged in life, it'd be really nice if when their life ended, that their spirits would be free from the physical shackles, from the wiring shackles, from the nervous system shackles that they had in life. But we have found that's not always the case. And a lot of times in those kind of locations, they're still looking for answers. They're still trying to communicate in their own way. And they are just as flustered now as they were then. And if you are in a place like this and you are investigating a place like this, show that reverence, show that respect. And, you know, and they, because that's a challenging thing. My brother is autistic, so I've watched a lot of folks with these mental issues and health issues over the years, and it's heartbreaking. And their spirits are worth talking to, but you just have to do it the right way, and you have to be respectful for just the day-to-day grind that these folks have. I mean, you know, this, you know, soldiers of this, I have a similar respect for soldiers. Like, these people gave all. And if you don't care who you're talking to and you just want to go in and be disrespectful, you kind of deserve what could happen, which is unfortunate. But there are folks out there who insult these people by how they investigate and by, like I said, creating haunted houses around it. It's okay to have a haunted house in a former hospital. Just don't make the patients what's scary. I don't care if Freddy Krueger comes out of the hospital room. I do care if you're insulting somebody with mental illness. And so do they. So do they. So do the spirits. And that's one place you really have to care. When you're dealing with health, when you're dealing with mental health, living or dead, you got to take care. You have to care who you're talking to and what you're saying and how you're doing it. And it's not about, I mean, it's decency in that case. Yes, you'll get better evidence this way, but it's just decency. And thankfully, almost every paranormal group I've seen and video I've seen in a place like that is very respectful. But again, it's always the 1%. But again, not caring who you're talking to is a big way to disrespect the spirits. The other final thing about not caring who you're talking to is if you're talking to children, you have to talk to children differently in life and in death. And this is actually an area for our organization where my wife, Emily, our co-founder, she has way better luck talking to children spirits than I do. Why? She's a teacher. I'm a big, loud guy, and she knows how to communicate. And, you know, you can't talk to adults the way you talk to children, living or dead. And I used the Gilboa Museum investigation we did as an example. That used to be a schoolhouse. And I'd go in there, and I sat in there, and I didn't really get anything. We got Emily in there, and she started talking about math and teaching math lessons, and poof, we started getting intelligent EVPs and conversation and interaction. It's because Emily is way better at talking to children, living and dead, than I am. And, you know, and because she's able to take the investigation to their level of, and to their level of height, where you get down to their level, but also their level of communication and their level of, hey, it's a schoolhouse, so this is what we're going to do here. And that's a good way to find out if what you're talking to is residual or intelligent anyway. But the most egregious sin you can do as an investigator is not caring who you're talking to. And as you can see, it gets me a little fired up, but I see it sometimes. And but that's how you can disrespect the spirits. That is how you can really sabotage yourself. And when people say to us and accuse us of disrespecting the dead, it's probably because they have seen or heard of folks who do what we do, and they do it where they don't know, understand, or care who they're talking to. There's a question that sort of goes along with this that we get asked too, which is, does a spirit not liking you or telling you to leave mean you disrespected them? And I'd say the answer to that is no. Again, it goes back to people being people, living or dead. Some people just don't like other people. And spirits are exactly the same way. David Hiltz at Grapevine Farms does not like me. He has no problem with Tim, Tracy, or Emily. Tim and Tracy being the owners, Emily, my wife. When we investigate, he has zero problems with them. But we capture EVP after EVP of, I don't like Dan. Nope, don't like him. Do you like Dan? No. He just doesn't like me. We don't get along. And, I mean, other folks have said feeling like a curmudgeonly guy staring at them in that room. But, you know, he just doesn't like me. But on the other hand, when we investigated the Wayside Irish Pub a couple years ago up near Syracuse, Sarah, the spirit of a girl who allegedly committed suicide in the attic, in the third floor, so it's not really an attic, but she seemed to really like me. She walked around every room I went to in the spirit box. We got some great evidence, and she even seemed to like follow me around the building, almost as if like, you know, hey, I like this guy. I feel safe around this guy. Let me walk with him for a while. And Emily never felt that. So I think spirits are like people. Some of them like some people more than others. And some spirits also just want to be left alone. We've all had those days. I have them a lot, where you just want to be left alone. And when a spirit doesn't want you there, sometimes they'll tell you to get out. We always have joke that investigation for us doesn't start until Dan's told to get out. But if a spirit doesn't want to be bothered, most of the time, they just don't say anything. And that's it. Good. If you don't want to talk to us, don't talk to us. I don't, you know, no spirit's ever spoken to us against their will, and nor would I want a spirit to speak with us against their will. But the steps we take to make sure we show maximum respect hopefully make the spirits want to talk to us. So what are those steps? What can you do? Well, I'll tell you what we do, because that's the only experience that I can speak from, is what Orange County, New York Paranormal does. First of all, introduce yourself. We start every investigation by introducing ourselves by name, and we get our names back a lot, I feel, because we do this. We say, hey, I'm Dan, this is Emily, this is Tim, this is Tracy, this is Rhea, this is Margo, this is whoever happens to be with us. Also, something I've found is important is understand that the spirits are watching you. Like, they don't just suddenly show up when you start the investigation. They're watching you set up. They're watching you put your equipment out. They're watching you tour the place. So we start talking to them almost immediately. And if I go back somewhere and like, if I know a spirit is in a certain place based on evidence, I'll say hello. Somebody pointed out at Grapevine Farms that I say hello to Michael, the child spirit in the basement, every single time we go down there, whether I have equipment set up or not. And I do it subconsciously just because I'm used to it. To me, Michael's just as real as you standing across from me in this room. So, and you just say hello to him. But what it does is it shows, hey, these people know we're here all the time because they are there all the time and they're watching you all the time and they're listening if they're intelligent spirits all the time. And because they're there all the time and because with the intelligent spirits, understand and acknowledge that they have feelings and they matter. And understand that they might have something they're yearning for and something that they want. The two clearest examples I can give of this are at the Worcester Inn, where the spirit of Dennis was hanging around through all evidence we found because the owner, Jim, was hanging around. And Jim has since passed away, God rest his soul. But Dennis never got a chance to say goodbye to Jim. So what we did in our investigations was we offered him the chance to. And if you haven't watched any of our Worcester Inn videos, please do, because Dennis sending his final message to Jim by name is one of the most powerful moments I've ever experienced as a paranormal investigator. But Dennis passed away and didn't get to say goodbye, so we talked to Dennis about the opportunity to say goodbye, and we gave him that opportunity. If he wanted to say goodbye, it mattered to us to give him that chance to, and we made that clear, and I firmly believe that's why he did it in that way. Another example of acknowledging the spirits is an investigation we did this last year with Rhea up in Wayne County at the Museum of Wayne County History. It was Rhea was leaving that position for another opportunity. We interviewed her on the podcast about 10 episodes ago. It's a good interview. Check it out. And I said to her at the end of the interview, you might want to say goodbye. And it's funny because, you know, she had thought of it, but I'm not sure she thought of it in the moment. And she did say goodbye. And it's funny, all hell broke loose when she said goodbye in terms of a banging on the walls and just the feel of the area. But she wanted to make sure the spirits understood that she's going to miss them, even though they made her life entertaining, good and bad. She wanted to make sure they had the closure, that she didn't just disappear and never come back. And that's what I mean when I say understanding that spirits have feelings and that they matter, because the intelligent ones are just like us and they have these kind of feelings and they have things they may want us to help them do. And that's really what it comes down to. When we investigate, one of the things that we start off by saying is, look, we're here to help you. We don't provoke for the sake of provoking activity. If you use trigger objects, have a reason to use them. Have a purpose. Have a purpose of drawing a spirit over and using trigger objects. I did a whole podcast episode on trigger objects a few episodes back. Check that one out. And if you're going to try to elicit activity through something else, you can do it in a way that it's like, hey, you know what? Children, I know you're up here. I brought you some presents. I brought you some stuffed animals, which we've done in the past. We did it because we wanted to get some evidence, but at the same time, we didn't take the toys away when we left. We left them there. They're still there. We brought you some presents. You are going to get to keep these and play with these. And they do. And it just, you know, it's not like, oh, here's for the sake of evidence. Oh, you know, I'm taking it away with me. No. If you bring a toy for a child spirit, leave the toy. That's just cruel. And then don't cross the line. You know, there's a line. There's a line of respect. And this goes back to the whole not caring who you're talking to thing. But there's a line between trying to provoke activity and challenging a spirit. And if you're just trying to challenge a spirit for the sake of it, I just can't respect that. It's one thing to tell a spirit they can't do something if they've hurt someone. But it's another thing to just, you know, outright ask for trouble. Because in this field, if you go looking for trouble, you're going to find it. That is one of the constants of the universe in the paranormal field. If you look for trouble, it will find you, and you will find it. And it won't be pretty. And the real difference between trying to elicit activity and challenging is that one is forgetting evidence, and the other one is being a jerk while trying to get evidence. But if you do the three things, if you know who you're talking to, understand who you're talking to, and care about who you're talking to, you'll be able to figure out exactly what you need to do to make them want to talk to you. They don't have to talk to you. They don't have to talk to me. They don't have to talk to a single person who comes in and asks them questions. But the more respect you show them, the more they will want to talk to you. We're the same way. The more someone treats me with respect and cares what I have to say, you bet the more of a chance that I'm going to interact with them. And at the end of the day, that interaction, that's what it's all about. That's what we're after. Talk to us. How can we help you? Let me learn about you. That's paranormal investigation. Speaking of paranormal investigation, it's getting close to October, as I said at the beginning, and in October, everybody wants to kind of get in on it. It's the time of year where everybody wants to be around things that are scary or be around ghosts and the paranormal. It's when it's top of mind. And it's October, so we do have some events on the calendar. And I want to just review some of them in case you are in the areas that we're holding these events and you want to come out and learn how we do things and investigate with us and use our equipment to do your own investigation. That's what we do. We do a paranormal 101, I call it, where we kind of go over the methodology. We'll show some evidence we've captured from the location, and then we divide up and you all the participants can investigate, and we let everybody use our equipment, and we kind of just stand back and facilitate. It's their investigation, and these events are so much fun. And on October 7th, we'll be doing our yearly event at Hyde Hall. Fortunately and unfortunately, that one is sold out. So that one will not be something you can still get tickets for, but keep an eye out because we do events with them as part of our volunteer service that we work with them. So always check out their website at Hyde Hall for the next one. They do candlelit ghost tours where they do Hide and Shriek, where you do a candlelit tour around the place at night. Highly recommend that. They do those all through October. So if you're up in the Cooperstown, New York area, that is definitely an experience you'll want to have. And hopefully you'll be able to catch us for our next ghost hunt event there. In the Cobleskill, New York area, Albany-ish market, On October 14th and October 28th, we are at Grapevine Farms. We're doing two Ghost Hunt event sessions, 5:30 and 8:30. Those just went on sale, so they go quick. But if you're in the Cobleskill, New York area, call 518-234-9148 or just Google Grapevine Farms and call that number. And $50 a person. And as with all events that we do, all of the proceeds go to the location. We do not charge to do events. We do not charge for anything we do. For us, we have so much fun doing them that it's, and we like helping our friends. It's part of how we volunteer at Hyde Hall, and we love helping out businesses and museums. And there might be a couple more events that pop up on the calendar as we get closer, but I did want to talk about Grapevine Farms, especially, but also Hyde Hall. Sorry about our event being sold out at Hyde, but do check out the other ones. And these are all in that upstate New York kind of I-88 corridor. If you live up there, if you have friends up there, let them know to look this stuff up, because we have a lot of fun with events, and October is such a good month. We meet so many awesome people and have some pretty cool experiences. So if you're in those areas, we hope to see you. But if you're going to any of our events or any paranormal event, remember to come with that sense of adventure, that yearning for the unknown, but also the appropriate level of respect for the spirits you might encounter. As I've said before, many groups and shows have replaced respect with provocation, and for no other reason than more views and better ratings, I guess. However, by doing this, they destroy what they're hoping to save. If the spirits aren't talking, we as investigators have to realize that, you know what? It might not be them. It might be us. The approach is everything, and you'll find that you usually get back the same amount of respect that you give. We found that spirits want to be treated with the same respect they expected to be treated with in life. And when you think about it, that's perfectly normal. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.